Curtis, an icon of Chicago television news. One of America's most public media personalities for more than 50 years is donning the cover of September's Chicago Magazine. Bill is also the voice and host on the Decades Channel, and his Curtis Productions is in the midst of a new season of American Greed on CNBC. And Bill Curtis joins us live tonight. Hey, Bill.
Thanks. It's going to be a great season. Great season.
Investigative journalism has obviously always been in your blood.
Yes, it has. Well, it's interesting. You know, it's like a mystery. You're a detective. And instead of reporting to the police, you go to the public and let them go to the police. So it's great.
The series is so captivating. What are we going to see in September and October?
Well, you know, this is white-collar crime. And I say it's crime without the killing. Sometimes there are deaths involved. But what you will see generally in American Greed is the individual, like a con man or a pyramid scheme, who devise either expanding on their personalities and taking people into their confidence and then stealing their life savings, or developing a pitch where they convince people to put, again, their confidence in them, and they will invest their money, and then they never do. They instead put it in their pockets.
You know, I wonder also when I watch the show, because, you know, we focus so much on street crime and killings and so forth, is I don't think people, there's not enough features in the news about white-collar crimes. I don't think people see it so much except on this show. And I wonder if this show ever serves as a deterrent for somebody who is in progress of doing that or thinking about doing that, that you're going to get caught.
Well, I think that's a very, very valuable point. The fact is that there are a lot of people out there who want to take your money. And instead of going out and working for themselves, building up that retirement, collecting the Social Security so they can live happily ever after, men who tend to prey on the loneliness of women, women who are have their nest egg, but are, you know, needing someone in their lives. They hate to go to bed alone at night and just watch TV. So they will befriend them, become their boyfriend, and convince them, well, why don't you give the money to me and I'll invest it? We have one of those cases. They did not invest it. They put it in their pocket, and they would go on to the next woman. Well, they can rack up 12 women over a course of several years, and that's their income. And what a tragic thing, because they break hearts at the same time they're breaking the law. So it is educational and a deterrent, not necessarily for the criminal, but for the person who, you know, is going to be taken by the con man. That you can be too good looking. Ask, well, what do you do for a living? We have one where a man befriended and actually married an attractive doctor. And he said every day, I'll take care of the kids, I'll clean the house, but I need to go to work. And he went off, and he sometimes stayed all day, and then he would come home. And he wasn't going to any work at all. He was going to Starbucks. And he would open his laptop and just spend time there, and then come home and take the money. He wound up killing her to get insurance money. I mean, a million or more money, a bundle. And the cops got him for that, of course. So that had an unhappy ending.
I would think so, yeah.
But those stories, you're also right in that how much violence can we take, especially in Chicago? Every night, every morning you wake up and there are 10 killed, 60 wounded. We generally fall short of that. So we're the process of solving crime. We had a crime in Marina City where a guy was running pimps and prostitutes and laundering money and out of a very prestigious location. And people look around and they get a little suspicious. Finally, the guy trips up And they have to wiretap him, gather the evidence, which is months long in the process. But, you know, that's a story well told.
As I'm listening to your legendary voice tell these stories, you know, back to Chicago Magazine, the headline is The Anchor. And that's exactly as Chicagoans that have watched you for decades and across America see Bill Curtis. You are America's anchor, my friend.
Oh, she's nice. Well, you stay classy, as the anchorman would say.
But what a great feature! I mean, it was a fascinating article just about life and you know, really kind of looking, you know, really at the last 4 or 5 decades of your life and the ups and the downs. And I just thought it was such an honest, forthright conversation that really kind of gave you a nice little peek into Bill Curtis. I thought it was very well done.
I think that's what Susanna Homan, the editor-in-chief, you know, saw, that you don't have to have, a rags-to-riches story or, the hero journey that ends in homicide or something. You can have a regular life that has ups and downs. We all do. It's been a very, very interesting life. For instance, one of the surprises was that my son was schizophrenic. I haven't talked about that before, but suddenly it's very relevant. What happens,
yeah.
But we have a shooter. I think it was Sunday. And now it's coming out. He was in a mental facility twice. He was undergoing care for mental illness. And there is a terrible connection between all these people. And those of us who go through it as families really should talk about it. I haven't before because I didn't want to exploit it. But remember when Gabby Giffords was shot in Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
There was a little blurb that came over the news, and it was a soundbite from the father. And he said, I knew he left with a bag, and I went after him. Well, to me, that said, he knew of the violent potential of this kid. He may even have known that he was going to go shoot somebody or try.
Right.
Because not every mentally ill person is violent. But so how can we break the chain? One way is for parents or friends who live with these individuals to pick up either on the computer or on in their conversations, the clues, because they want to talk about it and they want to study it and then report them in some way, so the police have to be attuned.
Well, so they protect themselves. I mean, so they protect the child as well, and so they protect others, of course.
You don't want to sweep all these folks who are suffering into the old Dunning. You're probably too young.
No, I do remember. No, I remember Dunning and by Norwich. Oh, yeah.
And put them in there, and they're shuffling along because they give them sedatives so they won't leave. You can't do that. But you can educate the people who do live with these individuals so that they can, and give them some place to call.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you feel, and let me ask you about this, you know, you said this is the first time you really ever publicly talked about it. How did that feel to kind of get it off your chest and talk about it a little bit more publicly? Was that good for you too?
Yes.
I mean, as a parent, that's tough.
Well, it was. They say, well, why didn't you do it before? And I said, well, I didn't want to embarrass him.
No, it's your son, of course.
Yeah, if he is going to talk about it, that should be his decision. And I also didn't want to exploit it for some benefit to myself. But I said, it's time now. And I'm not doing a service to the cause by not talking about it, by keeping it secret.
So true.
Too many people, it's a stigma. You know, I said something on the air when I mentioned it a couple of years ago. And Channel 2 freaked out. I mean, they looked at me like,
hiding some secret. Yeah.
You're hiding this. And it's a stigma. There's still a stigma that is associated with it. The other fallout is that Very often, parents will fall into this spiral where they have the terrible Sophie's choice. I have money. I have a nest egg. That nest egg is for my children. If you have more children than one, do I spend it all on this sick individual that I love that has really no hope? Or do I parcel it out? Very often, the choice they make is to let him go.
Selfish. Selfish in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Let him go and live on the streets. And I actually did an hour documentary on that, and they call it Greyhound Therapy. And, you know, they'll jump into it. And this kid wound up in Flagstaff, Arizona. And he knew the trash to dumpster dive where he could eat a meal.
Yeah.
But he's terribly at risk, and he'll wind up in jail, and there why he'll be beaten or very often killed. It's tragic, but you see, we are ignorant of it.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, mentally ill. Oh, well, did you know 10% of the population is mentally ill? And every time... Here it is, once again, and we do nothing.
No, and you know, you think about this at the school levels, too. We're pretty preoccupied, obviously, and a good thing with security and making sure that no one can get into buildings. But if you have that sick individual inside the building, you're exactly right. What are the warning signs? And it almost has to be a team effort. No matter how scared the parent might be, or they might feel that they're turning their son in and turning, you know, stabbing them in the back by doing that. But between parents, teachers, friends that see these signs, because it always comes out after an incident that, oh, yeah, he was this kid. Oh, yeah, he was acting very strange. Oh, yeah, he doesn't talk to anybody. Like, it's almost the same elements of that build into the situation. And a lot of people have to be more cognizant of it, because sometimes when you're not well, you can't help yourself. You need others around you to help get you the help that you need.
The shooter in Parkland, had it on social media. And he said, I want to be a school shooter. Right there.
Yeah.
And he reached out, and the parents or whoever he was living with there were frightened and tried to get help from him. But, you know, there, and I will say us, we are individuals who don't have a system to go to. You call the police, and he hasn't committed a crime, so they can't arrest him. So what are the serious signs and clues that can result in treatment? Now let's take them away and really look at this. Anywhere along for these shooters, they could have been picked up. And if there had been a facility, we have a psychiatric state, out around the University of Illinois here in
right.
medical facility, and there they are. But it's almost, we have to get together our experts, our FBI agents, our psychiatrists, and pool that information and set up a system. I don't see it. I know some individuals who can do that. But one, we're not going to get rid of our guns. That's
right.
just overwhelming.
Right.
And so let's go beyond that and really go after the mentally ill. So at least they can't get guns.
As far as preventing them from getting guns. Because this young shooter that you're talking about from a couple Sundays ago, this guy bought a gun legally within a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and they can look, they trick you. They can look smart. They're smart most of the time. And appear normal so that they slip by all the... That's why their internal thoughts, the emails, the computer, the social media, the friends who see this... And they, actually, at Parkland, I saw some statements where, we all knew he was nuts. And we all knew that something was going to blow. Well, they all knew, but, we didn't have... Yep. You know, Tom Dart, is on top of this. He and wisely says the Cook County Jail is the number one mental health facility we have in the country. It's the only place we have left. The buck stops with him.
Right.
So maybe that's where we should start.
On a much lighter note, you've been with Donna for the better part of four decades. You just got married less than a year ago. How is married life treating you?
4 decades. Oh, my God. I didn't realize
was
that it was
breaking
that
news
long.
For you? Is that breaking news? Well, that's good. That's
you
a good thing that you didn't know that.
Well, and marriage is a marvelous payoff to 4 decades. You know, along the way, and that, too, it almost came from, you know, the hippies and that free love culture.
Yeah.
Because she was one. She was, I think, arrested in Washington during a demonstration.
Oh, cool.
And believed it was against the war. She joined the demonstration,
sure.
So she was committed. They're all smart now. She's most powerful woman in the city. But at the time, why I said, God, I'm afraid to get married because we act like we're still dating.
That's great.
But after, it is. But after 40 years, there's a great, it's almost like retired. We retired into marriage. There's a calmness of, now we can take care of each other in our old age.
I love that. Well, once again, congrats to you, pal.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, we awesome. Got off on some different subjects here.
I love that. No, it was a great conversation. It was a great conversation. And you can catch new episodes of American Greed Monday nights on CNBC. You can also see Bill on the Decades channel. And please pick up a copy of the highly collectible Chicago magazine with Bill on the cover while supplies last. He wrote that. I didn't write that. He wrote that. Bill, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.